Okay, so good evening. So we begin a new topic here, no pun intended. Try to avoid all the chadash and yashon jokes. You know, it's all old material, but just with a new slant. But it happens to be that this year, this is probably the most relevant chadash time of the year. It's time when the most chadash shailas come to the Vada Kashrus. Just simply because this is the time of the changeover of the wheat. So we'll have to see what all that means. But the starting point, probably the biggest topic that's discussed when it comes to Yashan, is why don't we care so much about it? Or it seems that we don't seem to care so much about it. And in terms of the hierarchy of chumras in America, so, you know, there's... Actually, I got a real compliment the other day. I got a call from somebody outside the community who was coming to was going to be at a catered affair here in town, and he called me this to ask. Yeah, just wondering, like, what's the story with he said, he said to me, I asked around about your hashkacha, and I was told that you're totally straight. Which I took as a very big compliment, as Rabbi Eisenman used to say. We deal with really one main chumrah, and that is that we do what we say we do. Those establishments that claim to be Pas Yisrael have to be Pas Yisrael. Those that claim to be Chal of Yisrael have to be Chal of Yisrael. And then those that claim to be Yashan, so then they have to be Yashan. But generally, on the hierarchy of Chumras that people are looking for, so generally Yashan comes last. There's Pas Yisrael, Chal of Yisrael. Vlad is pretty obvious. Chassidus Hashchita. Okay, that might be something that people ask about. But in terms of those that are looking specifically for a Yashan, a Chumra of Yashan, so that probably comes last in the hierarchy. However, those that are makbid on it are very makbid on it. I mean, they are probably more. There's probably less. If you're going to be strict about it, there's probably less room to be strict about it than other areas. And the truth is, why not to be so strict about it is a little bit hard to defend. So I thought always that's sort of like the last topic. That's probably the biggest topic in Hilchos Yashan, is whether we care at all about the topic. But it actually comes right off in the beginning. So that's probably what we'll at least get into a little bit tonight, as to what exactly is the chumrah or halacha, really, the mitzvah of Yashan, or the prohibition of Chadash, and then what is its relevant here in America, Bizman Hazeh, as well as here in America today. So these psukim, it's pretty clear in the psukim what the halacha is. So that's page number one, is the psukim here. So this shows up in Parshas Emor. In the middle, we lane this. This might be the most laned parsha, other than Rosh Chodesh, other than anything in Parshas Pinchas about the maftirs there. This might be the most laned parsha of the year, right? First and second day of Sukkot, second day of Pesach, right? Yeah, other than... or the end of Re'e. Those are the two that are done four times a year. You have the list of the Moedim, you have Pesach, and then it starts talking about something else. That on the page, well, this is the page before, Dabar al Bnei Yisrael, this is not on the page, and you'll say to them, when you come to the land, which I'm going to give you, and you're going to do the harvest, and you're going to bring the Omer, and now Rishis Kitzirchem al HaKohen. That the Kohen is then going to wave the Omer that is brought. So Vasisem, and you're going to do on that day a Keves Tamim, a Korban. Umin Chaso is going to be this. Then you get the Pasuk Yudalad. V'lechem v'kali v'charmel lo sochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh. Which is translated as, you shouldn't eat bread or roasted kernels or plump kernels unto this day. Adaviyachem es korban aloichem. Until this korban is brought, chukasulam ledoroseichem b'chol moshoseichem. It's going to be a chok for all generations, b'chol moshoseichem, in all the places that you live. So what does this sound like, right? So it sounds very much like you're not allowed to eat any of these things until you bring a korban everywhere, wherever you live. So if I were to just based on the simple explanation of these psukim, does it sound like there's a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz? Right? So I would think not, right? B'chol moshoseichem means wherever you are. Now, the other aspect of the... So that's one, you know, obviously major issue with regards to whether this applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. The other thing is, what does this have to do with the korban? I mean, we are not bringing a korban b'zman hazeh. So what does that mean with regards to with regards to this halacha. So I'm not sure we're going to see. I didn't go through the entire siman to see if it shows up in the Shulchan Aruch or not. But this is actually So nowadays we don't bring so in theory the way it used to be was that korban was brought, the korban omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. Right, the second day of Pesach was the first day of Chol Moed Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, and as soon as the korban omer was brought, so then all of the old grains, all of the grain that had been that had taken root. Right, that's also a question. What grains are we talking about here? So grains that are cut, grains that are harvested, grains that were taken root, grains that were buried in the ground. Right, what exactly are we talking about? But at whatever it is that we're talking about, at that point that the Korban Omer was brought, so then all of the other grains are that at that point, so to speak, exist in the world, are then going to all of a sudden go from being Usser to being Mutter. So what about in the absence of a Korban? So the Gemara's implication seems to be that that in the absence of a korban, it becomes mutter in the morning. And one of the takanos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was that, no, you have to wait till the end of the second day. Why was that? So the Gemara famously says, because b'mehera yivana beis hamigdash, the beis hamigdash will hopefully soon be rebuilt, and it might get built on the second day of Pesach, and everybody throughout the world is just going to assume that all the chadash grains turns to yashan at daybreak of the second day of Pesach, and they won't realize that the Beis HaMikdash has now been built, and therefore you have to wait to the korban, so therefore you got to wait till later in the day. So that is, so therefore the assumption is we wait till after the second day in order to permit all of the other things that were, that until that time had been prohibited. One quick case that will... I listened to today while I was driving around the Star K webinar on Chadash and Yashan issues by Rabbi Tendler, Shalom Tendler, and he discussed a case where apparently there is a wheat farmer that is certified by the Star K. He does all sorts of, or flour miller, that's what, a flour person who has his own farms and does planting. He tried to figure out how to plant before Pesach. He wanted to know about planting some certain thing right before Pesach, within the couple of days. So it needs to be in the ground, essentially. Well, you know, this will get to some of these details later on, but it needs to be in the ground 72 hours before the Zman Isser begins. So when does the Zman Isser begin? Does it begin in the beginning of the second day? Does it begin when the korban will be brought? Or does it begin at the end of the second day? Or, if you were to ask me, it should be based on Yerushalayim, right? It shouldn't be based on the Zman in Baltimore. It should be based on the Zman in Yerushalayim, right? Because that's really what you're focusing on. Okay, so we'll try to resolve some of those issues. But this does come up. Certainly if you're in the kashrus field and trying to be makbid on this, so it does come up. And then the further question is about whether when a person says they're going to be makbid in Chadash, so what exactly, first you have to figure out what the reason is why people are not makbid on it. It seems to be a beferish pasuk in the Torah. And then once you get beyond that, so how chamor do you treat it? Meaning, if we're going to say, well, for whatever reason, we don't have to be, we're makel on the question, whatever reason that would be. What about if I actually know that it's yashan? Meaning, it's one thing, you know, I buy something in the store and who knows when it really comes from. But I know, I'm the wheat farmer, right? I know when this stuff was born. I know when I put it in the ground. So does that perhaps have any effect on these halachas? So this is all out there as things to discuss over the next couple of weeks with regards to the laws of Chadash. Okay, so...
question. So I don't know much about this topic. I was just wondering, I always thought that it had to be harvested before the Omer was brought.
Right.
And that's you're talking about taking...
Yeah, so it really is that it needs to have taken roots. If it had to be harvested, so you would be left with a lot of grain sitting around for a very long time. Because, right, what is the standard season, and part of the issue is that nowadays, at least in America, we don't really follow the standard season. But the Torah's assumption, meaning you go to Eretz Yisrael 3,000 years ago, right, the plan was, is that you would, right, and this follows the holiday schedule, right, that the... Pesach is the beginning of the harvest. Sukkot is the very beginning of the harvest. Shavuos is the harvest festival, right? And then Sukkot is the end of the harvest season, right? That's the way that it's supposed to work. And then you plant things in the ground and you daven for rain the entire winter, and hopefully things begin to sprout when you get to Chodesh Adar and things like that. So and it sprouts over the spring and over the summer, right? That's the plan. So if we're going to say, well, it needs to be harvested before Pesach, so that means anything that gets harvested in the standard harvest season, meaning Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, right, is going to have to stick around and be stored for 8 months until you get to Pesach again, right? So therefore, this goes by the planting rather than the harvesting. That's the halacha. That's the assumption that we have. Now, what throws a wrench into things nowadays is that there's a global wheat supply, so all of this wheat that grows over the winter. Well, what about if it grows in South America over the winter? Right, so then it's coming up in October, right? So that's one major Yashan issue that hits, and probably the bigger Yashan issue that hits is that in America, they are two wheat cycles that are done over the year. They actually grow different forms of wheat, apparently. I'm not the biggest expert in any of this, but what I think I understand is that nowadays wheat fields grow two rounds of wheat per year. There's what they call the winter wheat and they call the summer wheat, right? So they grow things over the winter and then they harvest it in the spring and then they plant again and they grow wheat over the summer. Now those wheats are different types of wheats. The wheats grown during the summer apparently are higher gluten than the winter wheat that is grown, which has different implications. So breads, apparently, you go to the store and you buy something called bread flour. So bread flour is high gluten flour, which is grown over the summer, right? And is then harvested in the summer, right? In August, in the beginning of August, is when they start harvesting these things, which is why this becomes very relevant right now, because that summer wheat is hitting the market now, right? The end of August is when it gets is when it hits, and then the winter wheat is so the what high gluten flour is used for things like pretzels, soft pretzels, you know, like they have in Philadelphia, right? And breads and things like that is what uses the high gluten flour from the summer. The winter flour is known as is often used as cake flour. Apparently, this part I didn't know was mentioned by Rabbi Tendler on the site. Something called cake flour. Now, if you go to the store and ask for cake flour, they're going to look at you kind of weird, right? Because they don't really sell cake flour in the stores. It's a commercial product that the commercial cakes and cookies use this thing called cake flour, which is a much lower gluten ratio. And because a lot of these cakes are not supposed to be spongy like the breads are that you have, so why don't they sell that in the store? If I want to make a cake using cake flour. So this Rabbi Shalom Tendler said that because you need to be much more precise when it comes to using cake flour. So the flour companies that sell in the store, they're in the business of selling you flour that makes you think that you know how to bake. So therefore, they don't want to sell you cake flour, because if you're going to be imprecise, then your cakes aren't going to be very good, and you're going to end up, and who are you going to blame? You're not going to blame yourself, right? You'll either blame your oven, that your oven doesn't work, or you'll blame the flour company, and you'll buy other flour company. So and you'll buy from another flour company where it's going to be better. So what is the other way? When you go to the store and go to the flour section, right? So, right after COVID started, there was nothing there. But nowadays, hopefully there is something there, right? So there is bread flour, which is generally summer wheat, and then there is all-purpose flour, right? That's generally what you find, the all-purpose flour. So what is all-purpose flour? So apparently all-purpose flour is a mixture of summer and winter wheat that they put them together in order so that it's not as spongy, but yet there's still a little bit of give so that people can think that they know how to bake well. That's my. That was the lesson that I got today. I've got to look into a little bit more, but that's what I understand. Yeah.
Now I know why we use bread flour for challah.
Right.
We go get bread flour. Does Kaddish apply to other species of grain?
Yeah, so it applies to the five. So it applies to the five species of grain that's here in the first halacha as well. It applies only to that. So it doesn't apply to rice. It doesn't apply to other things. But yeah, it only applies to the five grains. So that we will see. Now, okay, so the biggest, you know, probably, how should we do this? Okay, probably makes the most sense to go to page 3 to the tour. First of all, I took out the Sefer HaChinuch today just to see what you say is the Shorash HaMitzvah. I could have put it here on the page. But the Sefer HaChinuch says the Shorash HaMitzvah of Chadash is very much like the Shorash HaMitzvah of things like Bikurim or things like Brachos, that before we go ahead and do something and take something for ourselves, so we recognize that things come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and things like that. So therefore, in an agricultural society, so your wheat begins growing in the spring, so the very first thing that is offered is then offered as a Korban Omer. And then that matters the rest of the grain as sort of an acknowledgement that really it all comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and now we can go ahead and enjoy it. Now, this issue of the... The issue of, okay, where is it applicable, and, you know, Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz and things like that. So there the Sefer HaChinuch makes a comment like, oh, that requires a whole nother notebook, which I plan on writing later. So our records don't have this Armin Cheschinuch, at least, doesn't have that, where's the line? This isn't unusual. He does say this in a few places of things that are, you know, sort of more complicated and take a bigger issue. He says, he'll say, like, sorry, I just don't have time to talk about this here. You could catch it in my, you could catch it in a shir later on. Yeah. Yeah, v'yesh harbe shitos de'ena noig b'chutz la'aretz, ayin b'kedushin, rai v'achronim, v'yichadash noig b'shel gai, rai v'ezus Hashem, k'shi yigmor alai echto v'zeh kuntras miyuchad. I'll finish up a separate notebook, a separate sefer, on this topic of chadash and chutz la'aretz. So we'll try to get through at least what potentially would have been in that sefer tonight. So if we go to page 3, so page 3 here says the Torah, right? Kasuv v'lechem v'kali v'charmel lo sochlu, wa etzem ayom hazeh. So these grains, the bread and the grains, so one should not eat until this day. So she'asur lechol mitvua chamish haminim, you're not allowed to eat the grains of these five minim, achi karif haomer shehu b'shisha asar b'minim, until the omer is brought, which is on the 16th. This is a noeg bein b'zman ha-bayis bein shelo b'zman ha-bayis, right? This is noeg whether the basin makes you standing or not, whether in Eretz or in Chutz La'aretz, bein b'shel Yisrael, bein b'shel Goy, whether it belongs to, whether the wheat itself belonged to a Jew, or whether it belonged to a Goy. Ella Shebizman, continuing in the tour on page 4, Ella Shebizman, Sha'omer Karav Mutter Miyad, B'shisha Sarbenisan Achar Charaso. But as soon as the korban is brought, so then it all becomes Mutter. La Krovim Sheyodim Shekvar Karav, Ulurachokim Mechatzos Ve'elach. And so those people that are close, they know that it was brought. And for the people that are far away, so then they have to wait till the middle of the day. But when there's no Omer brought, Aser Kol Yom, you're not allowed to bring the entire 16th. Ve'idna, Shanu Osim Shnei Yamim, Aser Kol Yom Shivasar At Chilas El Shmonasar, Bishum Shu Suffolk Yom Shisha. So he says, nowadays, us who keep 2 days, so we anyways have to be machmir to the end of the second day, because it might really be the first day, right? So therefore, we're going to be machmir anyways in Chutz La'aretz. It's interesting, Shita of the tour. You see, the Beisosa quotes this as a machlokas, but fine, that's already down the line. So, now, the Beis Yosef here in Reish Tzadi Gimel Aleph, so the Beis Yosef and Bach here get a little bit confused, right? The big chunk on the bottom here, that is the Bach, right? The Beis Yosef here is on the left, where it says Reish Tzadi Gimel Chadash, and Reish Tzadi Gimel Aleph at the bottom is not the Beis Yosef, that's the Bach, right? Okay, so here the Beis Yosef says, so Bereish Meseches Chala, uveminach, right, there's no Meseches Chadash and Yashon, right, so there's, some of it is found, there's bits and pieces in Meseches Chala, Meseches Orla, Meseches Menachos, Meseches Kedushin, on page 3,
okay, the middle left,
on page 3, where it says, Reish Tzadi Gimel, in the Beis Yosef.
Ah, okay.
Right? So he says, "Ksiv lachem lekarelo tochlu she iser lecho mitvuas chamish chamish hamin." Right? So bereish v'sechas chala uve menachos tanan chamisha dvarim chayvim bechala hachitim asaor makusmim v'shibol shula v'ashifon. Right? There's five things that are chayiv in chala. Okay? So wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and the other one, and rye, v'ashifon. Harei elu chayvim bechala umitzarfim zeim zeh v'yasurim bechadash. Right? They can be joined together. And they're also going to be usher and chadash, m'lifnei ha-pesach, m'liksur m'lifnei omer, and to harvest it even before the omer. V'im hishrishu kodam la-omer. Now, if it takes roots, right, there you go, Joel, right, v'im hishrishu kodam la-omer, la-omer ha-omer matirin. V'im lav asurim ashiyava ha-omer abba. So if it has taken root before the korban omer is brought, then it becomes mutter. And if not, it becomes asher ashiyava omer abba until the next omer comes. Fine. That's pretty much coming out of the psukim. Continues on the Beis Yosef here in Beis. So this is a noeg beim bezman abayis bein shalom bezman abayis. That's the parak lu of hagazul v'menachos parak Rabbi Yishmael v'isvar besamuch. Right. That's actually where the Gemara is about Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, that Beis Hamikdash will fall. Beis Hamikdash will all of a sudden come and people aren't going to know. That's actually where Rashi, that's the famous Rashi, where Rashi says that the Beis Hamikdash is going to fall from Shemayim. Right? So we it's on that Gemara. So that, we like, every kid grows up, like, you know, assuming, oh, the Beis Hamikdash is going to fall down from Shemayim. That is not an assumption that most Rishonim have. Like, that's Rashi's cheat. Like, that's a very unique idea that Rashi quotes from a Medrash, that the Beis Hamikdash could plop down from Shemayim. Right? The general assumption amongst Rishonim is that it's going to have to be built, not that it's just going to fall down. But it's that Rashi and that Gemara where Rashi says, well, why is anyone going to know? Well, it must be that it plopped down from Shemayim on the second day of Pesach. But anyways, so the Mashkasa Bim Ba'aretz Bim Mechutz La'aretz, so here's where things get controversial. It says, Besof Parak Kama De Kedushin B'mas Nisan Plukta De Rebbe Eliezer V'Rabbanim. So that's the Machlokas Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbanim. And V'chasu Arif V'Harash V'kaimolan K'Rebbe Elazar. Right? The Amar HaChadash Asur Bim Ba'aretz Bim Mechutz La'aretz. The Stamlan Tana Kavase. Because there's another Mishnah like him in the end of Meseches Orla. Right, Achadash Asur Mina Torah v'chol Makom v'chein Pasuk Rambam Mehilchos Machalos Asuros Halacha Beis. Okay, so the Beis Yosef here tells you there's a Mishnah. It's Machlokes Rebbe Elazar and the Rabbanon, and the Rif, the Rush, and the Rambam all say we paskin like Rebbe Elazar against the Rabbanon that Yashon is obligatory even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, there's a couple of things that are strange, and maybe that, and that's why I put the Gemara on, which is page number two, right? Number one is generally we machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rebbe Elazar, right? We generally paskin like the Rabbanon against Rebbe Elazar, right? And second of all, you have to understand. I mean, the pasuk itself says b'chol moshoseichem, wherever you live, right? So what's even the havamin of the Rabbanon, which at least the big three all paskin against, right? So what gave that away? So if you go to page two. Where'd my Okay, so if we go to page two, so then we get to the Gemara towards the end of the first parak of Kedushin. Right? I'm not sure. I think the first parak of Kedushin might be the longest parak in Shas. Could be, at least longest in terms of daf. I'm not sure. 39 dafim. But the very top of the page is the second half of the Mishnah. I'll tell you the first half. The first half of the Mishnah is all mitzvos that are Taluya Ba'aretz are only knowing in Eretz Yisrael. And if it's not Taluya Ba'aretz, it's Taluya in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz, right? So mitzvos Taluya Ba'aretz are only in Eretz Yisrael. So Trumus Meiser, Meiser Sheni, right? Those are, right? But if it's not Taluya Ba'aretz, it's going to be in Eretz or in Chutz La'aretz. And then here you have the top line here, is the end of the Mishnah. Chutz min ha-orla v'kalayim. With the exception of orla and kalayim, right? Both orla and kalayim are land-based, right? They're both mesechtos in Seder's Rayim. And Rebbe Eliezer Omer af ha-chadash. Rebbe Eliezer says even the din of chadash, right? That Rashi says milachlo lifnei omer, that you need to eat it before the omer. Now the Gemara itself has a discussion as to what exactly is this sheet of Rebbe, like how do we understand what Rebbe Lazar is even saying here, right? So if you go in the middle of the page at the two dots, it says chutz min or levakalayim. So the Gemara there says ibaylehu Rebbe Lazar lekula palig or lechumra palig, right? Is Rebbe Lazar coming to give you a chumra or is he coming to give you a kula, right? So how would it be a chumra? So the chumra is pretty obvious, right? The chumra is coming to tell you that that this is going to be chal even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Why would that be? So if I skip a couple of lines, the last word on the line is Moshav. It says my taima. Why would Rebbe Eliezer say this? Moshav b'chol makom shatam yoshrim. Right? That it says b'chol moshav seichem, wherever you live. Right? And therefore it should be knowing outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. O Dilma, continuing on the Gemara here, about a third of the way up from the bottom, says O Dilma lekula palig. And what would Rebbe Eliezer be saying? V'halchi kamar Tanakama chutz min orla v'hakalayim. The Tanakama says with the exclusion of orla and kalayim, the hilchasa gemirala, the kol shekain chadash demoshav, kol makom shatem yoshim mashma. Because the Tanakama of course would include yashan, because the pasuk says b'chol makom shatem yoshin, meaning the way the second opinion the Gemara is reading the Mishnah as is that, well, all things that are mitzvahs tulius ba'aretz are not tali ba'aretz are going to be all over the world. The exception being orla, which is obviously based in the land, kalayim, which is obviously based in the land. How do we know those two? Oh, that's halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. We just know. But what about Chadash? Well, obviously, Chadash is going to be applicable outside of Eretz Yisrael because it says, B'chol Moshav Seichem, right? It's a Tiferish Pasuk. Rebbe Lazar is coming and telling you, Chadash Eino Noheg Ela Ba'aretz, the Moshav La'achar Yerusha V'yeshiva Mashma. He says, because Moshav is not coming to tell you a din about B'chol Moshav Seichem, rather, meaning wherever you live, rather, B'chol Moshav Seichem after you have begun Moshav saying. That's the word. Right? After you have begun to live there, meaning the mitzvah, all the mitzvahs at Tulis Baritz are going to be obligatory as soon as you come into the land of Israel, right? The first 14 years, as you're fighting for the land and as you're settling the land. Yashan is only going to become an issue once you settle the land. But it's still going to be a mitzvah to Luya Ba'aretz. And that's really what Rebbe Eliezer is saying. Now, the Gemara concludes and says, nah, we don't paskin that way. Right? Right? Umay af, right? Akamai, no, Yal Ba'aretz, and Moshe Lachi, Yerusha Vishu, right? What does af mean? So that would even, so why would Rebbe Eliezer say af? Af would be going even based on the beginning of the Mishnah. So anyways, we are left there with already a question about what Rebbe Eliezer exactly holds. Now, also, what's interesting is Rebbe Eliezer, the Gemara then goes on to sort of knock down the Rabban and say it's not the Rabban, it's actually the sheet of Rebbe Yishmael, in which case it's a one-on-one machlokas. But the truth is, if we don't read the Mishnah as we read it before, rather read like the second opinion in the Gemara, so then we're actually passing like the Rabbanan against Rebbe Eliezer, right? That works a little bit better, especially when you stick in the idea that there's another Mishnah, like this Mishnah at the end of Maseches Orla, that seems to be a Stam Mishnah, like the Sheet, to assume that Chadash is obligatory outside of Eretz Yisrael. So this question of why do we paskin like the Chachamim against the Rabbanan, so the main answer that the Beis Yosef gives is because there's other Mishnayos that paskin straight up like Rebbe Eliezer. What about the sheet of the Rabbanan? So if we continue on the Gemara, you'd see that it's not the sheet of the Rabbanan per se, it's really the sheet of Rebbe Yishmael. In which case it's Rebbe Eliezer against Rebbe Yishmael, and therefore you could pass like Rebbe Eliezer against Rebbe Yishmael, or you could say that it is the sheet of the Rabbanan and the you switch the sheetos up like the Gemara said, which places the Rabbanan as the chamor one and Rebbe Eliezer as the less chamor one. Either way you go, it seems like you have the Rambam, Rush, and Rif all saying that Yashan is just as obligatory inside Eretz Yisrael as it is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Right? So that is sort of the starting point here. Well, see, that's also the way that we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, in which case the burden then becomes, well, so why all of a sudden does there become this minhag of not being so makbid on this mitzvah, seemingly doraisa mitzvah of Yashan, outside of Eretz Yisrael? By the way, I was told that, actually this Rabbi Tendler mentioned today, that the Rabbanut in Israel, the regular Rabbanut, right, that everybody is nervous about, do we rely on it, do we go to Reza, they're makbid on Yashan. Meaning the Rabbanut will not give a hechsher to anything, which is an issue. They won't give a hechsher to a lot of OU products because OU products coming from outside of Eretz Yisrael, right, are not necessarily makbid in Yashan. So the Rabbanut is a makbid on it. Now it doesn't mean that everything in the country is that. Meaning it could be someone will import an OU product and sell it and not under the Rabbanut's title, right? But it's interesting, right? In Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut itself is machmir on all these Yashan issues, which is obviously an issue when you discuss importing stuff from outside of Israel. So,
a restaurant under the Rabbanut would
right.
not be able to.
Correct.
It's not Yashan.
Right.
Wow.
Right. So then the Beis Yosef continues on here. So then what's the other detail? The other detail to be concerned about is, like, the other mitigating factor potentially is, okay, what about if it's a field owned by non? I mean, if the whole thing is that we have to wait for the korban to be offered, which we have to give hodah to Hashem, okay, but what about if it's a non-Jewish field? So non-Jews shouldn't have to be machmer on this. So there the Torah already said, whether it's b'shel Yisrael, bein b'shel goy. So the Beis Yosef here says, kach chasu v'atosos v'amordechai b'sof perak kamet ha-kidushin v'chasu d'ha-chi mashbi Yerushalmi. V'chein kasav smag v'zeh l'shon ha-rush b'tshuvos klal sheni. And this is what the Rush writes in a tshuva. Asher, Nistafik Mori im halacha kribal yazer the amar chadash asu min haTorah the chutzlaretz, right, with regards to whether he, right, when he was misapik, whether the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, who says that chadash is asu min haTorah outside of Israel, right, b'haleika sveika the halacha kista mishnah the meseches orla Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Akiva v'savri kavas, right, and they assume like that's the mishnah. V'rif pasak halacha k'rabbi Eliezer, v'chein b'sefer hamitzos v'avi Ezri, v'chein pasku b'chol hachiburim d'chadash noeg b'shel gayim. That's even going to be applicable with regards to non-Jewish owned stuff. V'davar temahu, lama lo yinhog b'shel gayim demanda amar yesh kinyin l'gay. V'rabbeinu Yitzhak kein pasak v'parakam d'kedushin v'hevi rai miyushalmi v'tivrei Rebbe Baruch mehein temuin shakasav afilu im gadla b'rshus Yisrael ata b'chutz la'aretz she'ein anu smuchim la'aretz Yisrael nira lahater v'dvarv temuin v'ar Yosef ein behem mamish ad kan l'shono. Alright, and the Rush quotes this Rabbeinu Yitzhak, who seems to, and this Rebbe Baruch, who suggests that maybe it's only lands immediately surrounding Eretz Yisrael, and the Rush concludes by saying, but I don't know, I don't understand it. In Ben Mamish, right? There's nothing to what they say. Ad kan l'shono, that is the language of the Rush. Okay, so the Rush says, where would you get that from? Why would you have this distinction, right? Jews are not permitted to eat things that were not planted before Pesach began. Okay, so that is the main. So that seems to be the starting point in the halacha. So the main discussion, if you just open up a random shir on Hilchos Chadash, often the shir is about. So why is it that most of the world is not machbid on it? So one thing, and this we're not going to do this week, but I'll show it to you, and then we'll save it for really next week, try to figure out exactly what this Ramah is saying. But the one heter is potentially comes from this Ramah here, and you see it's even from the Rush, that the Ramah here says in Gimel, if you go to page, five or six?
Seven?
Whatever page the Shulchan Aruch is on.
Seven.
Okay.
Six.
So we'll do this and just point out the problem with it and then discuss another time. So the Mechaber here says Tuah Shelo Hashvisha Kodem Chesai Minisan Asura Ad Shel Yavo HaOmer Haba until the next Omer comes. Fine. Comes the Raman and says Mikol Makom Kol Stam Tevua Shari LaAchar Pesach. All Stam Tevua becomes Mutter right after Pesach. Mikoach Sveik Sveika, because you have two levels of Suffik. Suffik he. Mishana Sha'avra, that maybe it's last year's wheat, V'im timsa lomar mishana zu. And if you say it's this year's wheat, mikom akom dilma nishra shakodam omer. Maybe it took root before the omer did anyways. Okay, so that is probably, right? It says tur b'shem rush. That might be the heter that the rush gave. Realize that that is a very questionable sfeik sfeika, right? Right. Well, what's a sfeik sfeika? Right. A safek, if it's a dindo raisa, so therefore a safek you would have to be machmir on. But maybe if it's just two levels of doubt, so then you have the right to be mekel. So what's the two levels of doubt that the Rama is suggesting here? He says maybe it's last year's stock, and even if it's this year's stock, so then maybe the planting took place before Pesach. Right?
It was the same thing.
Right, exactly. Right. So that's the biggest question. Everybody jumps in this Ramah and says, well, essentially you're dealing with the same suffix, right? What's the suffix? The suffix is whether it was planted before Pesach or not, right? That's the suffix, right? What does it matter whether it's from this year or last year? Now, understand, if you understand the wheat cycles, you can understand it a little bit more with what he's probably getting at, although the question still stands, right? What's he getting at? He's getting at maybe it's from last year's batch, and if it's from this year's batch, so maybe it's early enough that it would be okay. That's a way of saying it a little bit stronger. I mean, it's not a question just of when was it planted, you know, before this date or after this date, but it's really a question of which batch was it from, right? It's more of a taruvus question if that's the case. But it's still right. But it still requires a lot of work, and I'm just trying to understand what this Rama is referring to. So that's one heter, this heter that the Rama quotes in the name of the Rush about somehow developing a sfeik sfeika. Now there is an idea out there. I think this was true. It seems like this was true. This worked until about 20 years ago, and that is, well, all the wheat is very old anyways, right? That the stockpiles of wheat are 3-4 years old, and FIFO. Right, that's the first in, first out. Right, so all the wheat that you're getting is really a couple of years old. So this.
It was 40 years ago, actually, that sfeik sfeika. That was when before the Russian wheat sales.
Oh, very good. Right. So I understand that the Americans built up these stocks during the Cold War, and then after the Cold War, they sort of let it all dissipate and sold most of it off. So nowadays, and the professionals, the kosher professionals all say once they certify these wheat plants is that really is coming straight from the field and turning into wheat and going out to market. Meaning that idea that all the wheat we assume to be pretty old anyways, so that probably does not hold true in America today. The other heterim are then probably the Aruch HaShulchan and the Bach. So the Aruch HaShulchan is, right, often the one who defends Minhagim, except for when he doesn't. So the Aruch HaShulchan tries to work out, and running out of time already, I see, but the Aruch HaShulchan tries to work out how we just paskin like other achron, like other rishonim, which is a bit of a strange thing to say when it comes to a din d'oraisa. But he says, look, we have the right to say that we're mesupuk about the wheat itself, and you have the right to say we're mesupuk about the shita itself. Meaning there are other shitas rishonim that say that the paskin like the chachamim against Rabbi Elazar, like you would think you would have, right? So therefore that. You can learn it out in a way that would be mekel. And as the Aruch HaShulchan concludes here in Sifhei, he says, "Ve'ata yisvach levavenu v'tagal lashen lumot tzchus haklai yisrov o nevar b'zeh b'ziyat d'shmai." He says, yeah, we should be happy with the fact that we're able to be melamed tzchus and rely on it. Now, what did he himself do? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's clear from the Aruch HaShulchan if he himself like was really advocating to be machmer on it or not. But that's the Aruch HaShulchan's take. I mean, you sort of can fight through the lumdas, so to speak, to come out with a way of being matir. And then you come to the Bach. The Bach is probably the most full-throated defense of the of being mekel on these halachos. It's probably the most famous Bach in the entire tour, although it's also one of the longest Bachs in the entire tour. But which is why I put three pages of it on the thing. So we're not going to pound through the entire thing. But if you just to summarize, as you see on page Reish Tzadi, the first page, so he says here on the bottom here, Upaskwa poskim halacha krebel azar the asar chadash b'chutz la'aretz, right? The low krav baruch, right? It seems like the poskim paskin like krebel azar and want to be machmer on this. So then he gets into also the top of Reish Tzadi Aleph. it gets into the question of whether it would apply to Jews or non-Jews, etc. And then you get to the term here of Amnam. He says, Amnam ha-minug pashut b'malchusenu, right, as the lines become wide. The minug is obviously where we live, where the Bach lived in Poland, right? The Bach lived in Krakow, I think. Gone once, gone twice. I think the Bach lived in Poland. So, right, the minug is to be mekel, and even gedolei Torah that came in front of us, like Rav Shachna and Rav Shlomo Luria. I'm not sure who Rav Shachna is. Rav Luria is the Marshal, right? That's a pretty big name. V'tamideim lo ayu osrim v'shosin hashechar shenasa mitavua shelo hitira omer zulas mixas shelo hitira omer. That, and they drank beer from the wheat that did not live through an Omer yet. Except for a few of the Hasidim, Mekarov Nisharu B'Sirdeh, that were very machmar in this. V'ani b'mei chorfai, b'lamdei Meseches Kedushin, l'ftei shloshim shan. He says, I, in my younger years, I learned Kedushin 30 years ago. Shanti alibi la'ayin b'horazu. Right, I took it upon myself to look into this din. V'rizi she'ein halacha p'suka. And I saw that it wasn't really a finished psak. V'sha'alti es ha'me'or ha'gadol Rav Liba bar Betzal. Okay, not sure. V'hitzesi l'fanav ma'shalisi b'metzudasi gam lifnei shar gadol ha'torah v'lo haya mi shesaser es divrei v'zeh asher kasafti al divrei atosos. He says, and I asked around a little bit and I wasn't able to find anybody that really rejected this. The tema, my raya mevi ri mi Yerushalmi, da vaday hu, da haparak lasham, amai lo tani chala lava div, amai lo tani chala, lava div rebel yazer, da amar af hachadosh parach, ela tanakama, da amar chutz mina orla, va kalayim parach. What's this talking about? So this is the, so Yerushalmi here is, yeah. That the Yerushalmi discusses there are three mitzvos that are tuluyos ba'aretz that we bring up as being chayev, right? What were those three? Kalayim, Orla, and Yashon, right? Now there is a fourth, right? There is a fourth that we're something, you know, what is, if we think through the mesechtos of Meseches Rayim, right? There's a fourth halacha that we are very makbid on, probably the one that covers the most simanim in Shulchan Aruch of all of the, besides brachos, right? But of all the Zrayim mesechtos is challah, right? So why is challah not on that list? So that's what, So the Yerushalmi asked, like this Yerushalmi that was alluded to, why isn't challah mentioned? And the answer, because b'she'ina v'shel gayim. Because that challah is not applicable when it belongs to a non-Jew, right? Non-Jewish things are not chayiv and challah, which is very helpful when it comes to the realm of kashrus. Otherwise, the OU would have to worry about how to be mafresh challah for Oreo cookies, right? So they don't, right? Because all of these, or Entenmann's, or any of these non-Jewish baking companies, right? So challah is not separated for them because it all belongs to non-Jews. So we don't have to worry about challah when it comes to those. So here, the Bach says that Yerushalmi said, why is challah not mentioned? It's not going on Rabbi Elazar, the Amar Af HaChadosh Parach, Ela Tanakama. The Amar Chutz Mina Orla VaKalayim Parach. Right, it's asking why it only mentioned Orla and Kalayim and not Challah. Amaylo Tani Challah Umeshani, and the Yerushalmi answers the Visha'ina Noheges Bishel Goyim Kamo Orla VaKalayim the Noeg Af Bishel Goyim, because that's not Noeg by Goyim like Orla and Kalayim are. V'hashta Ikal Amechesh the Chadash Ina Noeg the Rebbe Lezer El Bishel Yisrael. So comes the Bach and says, if that question was only being asked according to the Tanakama, that means it's not being asked according to Rebbe Lazar, in which case we would say that the Tanakama's examples are chutzla, are things that are knowing whether it belongs to a Jew or whether it belongs to a non-Jew. But when it comes to Yashan or Chadash, that's only applicable if it belongs to a Jew. That's the box answer. Mahadlo Tani Rabbi Elazar Tana the Chadash Haynu Mishum the Chalalo Poliga Tana Kama Tana Kama Nami Moda the Noeg B'Shel Yisrael El the Chadash Shesfir Leil Tana Kama the Eino Noeg B'Chutz La'aretz Afil B'Shel Yisrael Kama Rabbi Elazar Afa Chadash Aser B'Shel Yisrael. Right, and he says, and that's why and comes the Bach and says, he says, now you understand why the that the Tana Kama Rabbi Elazar aren't even arguing about that. They're not really arguing about whether Chadash is noeg in Chutz La'aretz or not. It is noeg in Chutz La'aretz, but only in land owned by a Jew. If it's owned by a non-Jew, so then you wouldn't be noeg for it. Rebbe Elazar might hold you are, right? But the Bach says that's what the whole machlokus is about. About only if it is non-Jewish owned land, and we happen to paskin like the Rabbanan against Rebbe Elazar that says that we are that it's only a problem if it's owned by Jews and not a problem if it's owned by non-Jews. So now you can go outside of Eretz Yisrael, right? What are all the Jews doing, right? So all the Jews are in business and they're all trading and they're working the stock market and they're shoemakers and they're artisans, and they weren't allowed to own land in a lot of these places, right? So all of the wheat was coming from non-Jewish owned land. So if it's coming from non-Jewish owned land, so says the Bach, you don't have to be choshesh for Yashan, and that's why nobody was knowing for Yashan all of these years. And the truth is that Bach is still applicable b'zman hazeh, right now, even nowadays. So there are some Jewish owned fields, but there aren't that many, at least not outside of Eretz Yisrael, and that perhaps gives reason to be makel. We would just add in at the bottom here, he adds in either Rush seems to disagree, right? The Rush himself seems to disagree. So the Bach says yeah, that's the Rush in a tshuva, but everybody knows that the Rush wrote his Pirush on the Gemara after he wrote his Tshuvos, and in the Pirush on the Gemara, he explains the Gemara like me, claims the Bach. And therefore the Rush would agree to my opinion as well, and that perhaps is the opening to say that we have the right to be Mekel. And if you turn to page 3, you can just see how the Bach concludes, V'lachein ein l'shum gadol l'horus hara, the bottom of the Beis Yosef, where there's the little pointer, right, the little hand. He says, V'lachein ein l'shum gadol l'horus hara l'isser hepech ha-minog sh'nagu al-pi gadol Yisrael l'heter, u'mishirotz l'hachmer l'atzo midas chasidus, hu v'lo yor l'acherim. He says, anybody who wants to be machmer on, that's considered midas chasidus, and he shouldn't teach it to anyone else. V'lo lisei lin tsuye, not to degrade them, v'dachim only somebody who's machmer on a lot of other things. And is an obvious chassid, so he has the right to be machmer on this. But other people, they don't have the right to be, I don't know, like the Rav Yah writes with regards to Hilchos Kriya Shema. I'm not sure what he's referring to there. He might be referring to maybe like not saying Shema on your wedding night or something like that. I'm not sure what that's referring to. But he says only Yechidim, they have the right to be Machir, but others shouldn't. So it could be that, and in fact, some would even suggest that now that it would be an example of Yuhara for a person to be openly Machmir on Chadash Mizman Hazeh. That seems to be what the Bach is driving at. However, right, so that's the Bach's, that's the famous Kula of the Bach. Does it entirely apply Bizman Hazeh? I mean, it could be the Bach was really only putting this together with other Sfeikos. Nowadays, those don't necessarily exist. So those are things that we'll have to get into as we continue on this. Right, so the Bach's, the main Kula of the Bach is that this really is only applicable to, even if it is applicable in Chutz La'aretz, it's only applicable to Jewish-owned land, not to non-Jewish-owned land, and there isn't so much of the Jewish-owned land to go around anyways. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Any comments, observations on that? Or we'll pick up next week.